So I'm the writer of Low Tech Magazine. It's a blog that I started more than 10 years ago. And I badly needed a redesign of the web because, one of the problems, it was not accessible on a mobile phone, for example. I've always tried to practice what I preach. So what I try to do with Low Tech Magazine is to kind of criticize the high-tech approach to sustainability. And then, as an alternative, I look to the past for inspiration. So I go see how people used to do things, how they made stuff, how they transported themselves and how they transported goods, everything before they were fossil fuels or earlier in the 20th century. And it kind of brings you to a lot of ideas. Wait. So, for instance, the compressed air is maybe a sustainable alternative to chemical batteries in for energy storage. And then you see, if you go look into the history, then there's like 100 years of history into compressed air, and it was used as an alternative for electricity. And from that you can kind of get a lot of inspiration to make new solutions. So my aim is not to go back to the Middle Ages or start using old technologies, but more like what can we learn from it and how can we improve it. So, for instance, you have old technology, you can improve it with better materials, better knowledge. For example, pedal-powered machines. So, I'm used to work on a very old computer, so. So, for instance, human power is very old energy source, and but like early 20th century, we developed a lot of new kind of ways to convert human power into useful energy. For example, the bicycle is one, but also the, for example, here this article, you have to. There appear machines like human-powered saws and drills and everything, and then, so you kind of, an old concept can be improved with new technology. And so I needed a website, and I thought, okay, then I need to build also a low-tech website. I'm also not flying, I'm not using cars, I don't have a smartphone, so very often people tell me, haha, funny, you write about low-tech and inspiration from the past, but then you're using the internet to kind of communicate your message. And of course, what else can I do if I start photocopying text and nobody's gonna read me? So I thought, let's try to kind of make a website that is that uses very low resources, and that also it was not the plan. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a bit chaotic, but I didn't really prepare the talk because this was not foreseen. And it's Sunday morning. So last summer I had an intern coming from the United States, and she had the job to kind of redesign the website. And she showed me like 5 or 6 designs that all looked really great, very modern. And every time I was like, nice, but I don't really feel it. And then at the end of the summer, she came with a design that I immediately fell in love with. And I was like, what's that? And she was like, it's the first website ever made. And I was like, okay, that's what we need. And so in the end, although my intention was not to go like back to the history of web design, but apparently that's again where the solution was. If you want a solution, always look at the past and you will find it. So in the 90s, they made static websites, and today it's all about, it's all database-driven content management systems. And they use much more resources than a static page, which is just always there, while a dynamic page has to be generated all the time, every time someone visits it. And so we kind of continued working on that idea. And if you make a static web page, you can it can be very low energy using, and to certain to that extent that you can actually host it yourself at home on a very small server. It's the Orlimax A20. You see it here. The whole website now runs. I have to hurry because it's almost. So this is the battery meter, the yellow line you see here. So it's, I guess, at 1%. You don't even see it anymore. So the server uses between 1 and 2 watts, and that's low enough to host it yourself. And also, I was like, okay, I should run it on solar power because. I forgot to say that. Also, my office is on solar power. Here. So this is my office. And I kind of took it off the grid. So I have like 50 watts, more or less, of solar panels. And that's where I use the lighting in the computer. And kind of depends on the weather, whether I have enough energy or not. Because I kind of limited myself with, it's quite a small solar system, but it's Barcelona, so it's very sunny. On sunny days, I have more than enough energy to kind of work on my computer, turn on the lights. When it's cloudy, I have to kind of adapt, so I use like a tablet with a keyboard, or I use my typewriter, which is a great invention. I don't know if you know it. So, I will show a typewriter for those who've never seen it. So I kind of discovered even the typewriter, and there's also a lot of reading to do. So yeah, if you have to read a book, you just need 3 watts of a LED light and you can work the whole evening. Also, I noticed that the energy use of your computer depends a lot on what you're doing. So when you're, for instance, writing, just like a text document, then I consume around 15 watts. If I'm researching on the internet, it's like 25, 30 watts. So you can kind of adapt to the sun, to the weather actually, and try to kind of arrange your work. And you can always cheat, of course. You can always go to the library, or in my case, to the living room, because it's just a solar office. But still, it kind of works. I never do that, actually, but I could do it. But I learned that it kind of works to adapt to the weather, to kind of, it's not so strange that people adapt to the weather. We also go skiing when there's snow, we go to the beach when it's sunny, we go windsurfing when it's windy, so I work when it's sunny, and I don't when it's cloudy. So I would not work a lot here in Berlin, I guess. So I'm kind of stuck in Barcelona. But I decided, okay, let's power this thing on solar. And I put this solar panel up here at my balcony. So that's the balcony next to the picture you saw before. And then I also added a battery. But then the problem with batteries is that solar energy is great and we should switch from fossil fuels to renewables, but it's a very different energy source. So it's much, it's not always there to start with. There's no sun at night. There's much less energy when it's cloudy. And if you want energy, solar energy, to be always available, you need to add a lot of batteries. And if you want like 100% reliability, which is like the uptime promise of most web hosting services, like we're 100% online or 99.999, then you need quite a big battery because you have to be ready for even a very unusual, say, a whole week of clouds, which is uncommon in Barcelona, but it does happen. And then actually your choice for solar energy is not so sustainable anymore because you need this big battery that maybe lasts 3-4 years, depends how you use it. And then you need another one. It's very expensive and it's not sustainable. So this whole idea of solar, we switch from fossil fuels to solar and wind energy, I support that, but you also have to adapt your society to that. Your lifestyle and your technology should be ready for an energy source that's first intermittent and two has much lower power density, which means that you need much more space and materials to harvest the same amount of energy. So then I was like, okay, I use the same strategy as I do in my solar office. It works when it's sunny, and it works through the night, because otherwise, yeah, people in other countries would not be able to read the site while they're during the day. But if we have one or two cloudy days of weather, it just it goes down, and then people have to come back. And to make it easier for, so yeah, in the end, it's a very small battery it runs on. I will show you. These ThinkPads were much better before. But yeah, so that's the controller. Yeah, here are the batteries. So it's a bit complicated technically, in the sense that you have a server that runs on 3.7 volts and you have a solar system which is based on 12 volts. So you have to kind of convert, and then, which is not very efficient because you lose a lot of energy in the conversion. But this big battery you see, I mean big, it's very small, but the biggest one you see, that was meant to be the energy storage, but and that's like the UPS battery. So this small battery is actually meant to shut down the computer orderly when the power goes out. But in the end, we just decided to run it on the small one, and this just serves to convert the voltage. So this 24 watts, so I kind of like it, yeah, it's one cloudy day and then probably next morning it goes offline. But then we also help people to plan their visits to the site. So first we say like, look, watch out, this is a solar powered website. Check, watch the battery meter, which is now almost like gone. And then here you have the weather report, which is very important, of course, if you're depending on the weather. So today, yeah, it's a cloudy. Of course, weather reports are not very reliable. We all know that. Yeah, it doesn't look too good for the next days, I must say. And then here you have the power statistics of the server. So load average of the CPU and everything, the battery charging. So it's not, the panel is not active, so it's probably raining or cloudy at the moment. And then how much energy the computer uses. When we were still building the website when the word got out, and we suddenly got the Hacker News crowd over, yeah, while it was still kind of in the scaffolding phase. But it immediately showed how powerful this old kind of type of building websites is, because we got like, I don't know, 30,000 visitors in 2 days, in 1 day, and it worked fine. And the CPU load average was only up to 30%. So you could actually run three high traffic websites on a server like this. And so how did we get it so energy efficient? Well, the easiest thing to, because if you look at the website, what is using all the energy, then you see that it's mostly the images. And especially on the Low Tech magazine, which is a very visual website, it kind of would have been easy to, yeah, like this, there's like a lot of images in, lots of large images. And the easiest way to make a very low resource website is to just get rid of all the images, because then, yeah, it's basically not consuming anything anymore. But that would not have been a good choice, as the visuals are a very important part of the whole magazine. So we kind of used a dithering technique. That's an old printing, an old technique from the printing, where they kind of, you kind of, yeah, I'm very bad at explaining the dithering. But you take away. It becomes. Yeah, good idea. This? Oh, the German keyboards. All right. Oh my God. Wait, let me just. Ask Google, where's the Z? Ah, here. All right, here we are. So, for example, here you see the original. So, dithering, you kind of strip it, the image of all the colors, and it gets these like little kind of crosses. That's what it becomes. And then you give it a supporting color, and that's what they did in like comics and magazines in the 70s or something. And it's not the only way. I mean, we could have kind of, so we managed the average picture, we made it like 10 times lighter. How? Because when you look at the evolution of web pages, the last 10 years, for instance, the average web page is now 3 times heavier than it was 10 years ago. So there is a trend towards ever increasing page sizes. And I didn't realize myself, but my old website that you see here, I was an offender. I mean, this is like the SUV of websites, because I had a lot of pictures and I never really thought about resolutions, or I just uploaded them. And then when I started for this project, I started measuring them. I was like, oh my God, I'm like 3 times above the average web size. So 8 megabyte, 9 megabyte for just one page. And we got that down to, I mean, our limit was 1 megabyte per page. So we wanted everything to be below that. And that really worked. We are now like an average of 0.6 megabytes on average by page. It also loads extremely fast. That's not, it was not really the intention. So we didn't build it for speed. We build it for low energy use. So if you would run this solar-powered website on a normal hosting, web hosting company in a more like central location of the internet, because Barcelona is really the outskirts, yeah, it would be even faster. It would be like in just a few milliseconds and you have it. We did also other things. So we didn't we don't load any typefaces. So we use the default typeface of the browser. So it looks different depending on your browser. You don't have to all these requests to take in the typefaces. And so yeah, I did actually none of this. I worked together with Marie, who did all of this. But that's why I'm not very good at explaining the technical stuff. We also got rid of all the tracking. So I get very annoyed when I visit the website. First they say cookies, yeah, I accept cookies. Then the newsletter, no thanks, no newsletter. And then some privacy warning. We got rid of all of that. And it's not just annoying, it's also using extra energy. We also got rid of the stat counter page. So on the old website, I have a stat counter to see who's visiting. And now I'm basically, I have, of course, the server stats that you can, every server has its own statistics. But there's also a little light blinking on the server. You see it here. So I'm basically sitting in my office and I see how much traffic there is depending on the light blinking. And one evening I was like, yeah, that's, by the way, how we discovered that we were already discovered, because suddenly this light was blinking like crazy and it's like, huh? Something's happening. And then that was Hacker News. And another time it was someone trying to take the website down. And so you immediately see what's going on. Yeah, that's a bit the story of the website. I probably forgot a lot of things, but so you can read all about it on the blog when it's online. And but now I want to go a bit deeper into the story behind it. I mean, the thinking behind it. Oh, I'm afraid it's down. Sorry. So then we go to... They kind of took over the Apple kind of mouse pad, no? In this new ThinkPads. Very annoying. Here we are. So we still keep the old blog online. That's like you see, read the article on the solar powered website, but it's not possible now. we keep it online because we're still kind of working on the solar powered website. Not all articles are uploaded, and in the end we have to decide, yeah, we're gonna keep two separate blogs. That's not very practical. So probably this one will disappear, or they will be integrated in one blog. We're not sure how to do that yet. So this is like the critique on the thinking behind renewable energy. What I said before, like the idea is we just switch to renewable energies sources and then it's solved. But you have to adapt your whole society. And if you look at the past, you see exactly that was happening. So before the Industrial Revolution, you also had a lot of use of renewable energy, but it was used in a very different way. And so on this picture you see two good examples. It's the sailing ship and it's the wind-powered factory. And this is both from the Netherlands, because that's a country that was really focused on wind, not so much on water because it's too flat. And so how did they run an economy on renewable energy that is not always available? Well, very simply actually, they operated their factories and they operated their transport system when there was wind. And if there was no wind, they just didn't run their factories, or they didn't travel overseas. And it kind of... It's a very simple idea that has been working for centuries, and if you think about it, it's something that we can also do, and we can do it much better actually, because for example, if you look at sailing ships, yeah, we have much better sailing ships. We can build much better sailing ships than we did in the 1600s. We have better weather reports, we have better navigation instruments, we have better better overview of the currents and the winds over the whole globe. That was actually just discovered before, when the steamship already took over. We charted the whole all the currents and the winds globally, and just simply that knowledge allowed to halve the sailing times across the globe. Yeah, I have the feeling I'm telling the story backwards, but we can also do it with solar power. It's not just wind, because we have a lot more technology than we did before. So in the late 19th century, they started to concentrate solar light and then operate. For example, this is a printing machine, a printing press that is powered directly by the sun. So it works if the sun shines. If it stops, it just stops. And there is no need for batteries, but it's also a much simpler technology. So there's no conversion to electricity, and that's another thing that we can learn from the past, is how they... If we talk about renewable energy, it's always about wind turbines, solar panels, they make electricity, and then we use electric appliances. But this conversion to electricity and then back to, for example, mechanical power, has a lot of losses, energy losses in the process. So you can also do it directly. You can connect a mechanical windmill directly to the axle of a machine, and you also have, you can drill or saw or polish or whatever you want. And all these basic operations, factory operations, they are still just as important as they were before. So the Dutch also used their old windmills not just to grind grain, but also to do every basic material processing that is still very important. So, for instance, this is a sailing ship. Just one example to see how much sailing has improved. The top speed of a sailing boats in the 70s has tripled. So in just 40 years, we managed to make sailing ships like 3 times faster. And this, of course, is not a very practical ship to cross the Atlantic or to kind of take some containers. But still, it's a design that you could kind of think further and maybe a new kind of make it much bigger and into a cargo thing. But what's especially interesting is here the guys on the bikes. So in a normal sailing ship, you need a lot of people to do the steering. And these guys, it's in a race, they were like, okay, we're going to save on manpower because we're going to use stationary bikes. And because they're more efficient, so one person can deliver more power, you need less men on board or women. And so you save a lot of weight. And they, yeah, of course they won. And now probably everyone is going to take over this technology. I keep talking in a chaotic way, but that's fine, I hope. Do I have more time? Okay. Then I want to introduce another. So talking about human power, I kind of remembered the other project. So with an artist in the Netherlands, we're building a human powered society. So like I said, the human power has been throughout the ages, that was actually the backbone of the economy. So if you're talking, all the canals in Europe have been dug by hand with a shovel. And today we have like one of the latest things I encountered was the battery powered pepper mill. I don't know if you know it. It's like you just press and then you have pepper. So that's 2018. We were digging canals 3 centuries ago and now we cannot even. Yeah, and then I actually found it at my parents, so I asked why you buy this, and then they were like, yeah, it's quite handy because you only need one hand, so there's always a kind of convenience advantage. But then at the next visit it was gone, because I was like, and it was replaced by a human powered one, but not one that goes like this, but that you have to knappen. I don't, yeah, maybe it's the German word also. So you only need one hand. So it's kind of, and why they replaced it, they were like, man, this is eating batteries. That's such a, like, yeah, great. And so it kind of shows that you can also solve it without adding batteries. You can also make things more convenient. And all this human-powered technology, it basically evolved over the centuries, and then it stopped in the early 1900s, and then we never looked at it again. So all this old how to use human power, we kind of lost 100 years of opportunities in making it better and more efficient. And that was the starting point to kind of ask ourselves the question, could we run a modern society on human power alone? And it sounds a bit like a silly question, but actually the interesting thing about human power is that if the users of the energy are also the producers of the energy, then the first thing you're gonna do is think about how much do we need? What do we really need? I mean, so for instance, our first scenario was a human powered student building. So to be clear, it does not exist. but it kind of we made detailed calculations, and we made images, and then we actually put it on the So this is the entrance. It kind of changes the world a bit, but and the people. So this is, for instance, an individual student room, and it was surprising that by switching to human power, you kind of, it's first of all, it's perfectly doable. You can have a modern life in a building with 750 students, entirely human powered, because human power is very, you can produce mechanical energy, you can produce electricity. In that process, you produce a lot of body heat, so you also have heat, and you can also use human waste to producing biogas. And what you see here, for example, this, you have to keep an eye on the pipe. So if it's cold, it can be cold in the Netherlands, that's where the building is. So you just open the vents of the pipe, or you plug in your bodysuit, and the heat comes from here. So, this is the fitness floor. We have three fitness floors at the bottom of the building. And this is, like in the old days, there's music. It's like the work song. People used to kind of sing while they were working to coordinate their actions and also to kind of keep motivated and to complain about the boss and everything. And so we have three floors of fitnessing people. Part of the 750 students have to keep the building working, and that produces so much body heat that you can then actually warm the students who are not working at the moment. You can warm them with the body heat of their colleagues, and so it works. But the thing is, like, of course we got rid of the stairs. So the stairs are usually very boring places. There is no one, not in our building. They're teeming with life. And it takes 11 minutes to walk up to the first floor, to the highest floor. So we calculated really everything. It takes 3 minutes when you run, but then you have to be in good fitness. And because there's no elevator, the highest rooms are the cheapest rooms. And we actually, put some ads on the internet, on the student room website, like, hey, human powered website, that's for a future project, human powered student rooms for rent. In 24 hours we had 60 people saying, yeah, great, I want to be there. So we took it off. That was not really what we expected, but apparently there something is attracting people, in the sense that they now they have to spend a lot of time doing a job to pay the rent, and they also have to go to the fitness to keep in shape. So they thought, like, okay, if I do this, I pay less rent and I already have my fitness, so I kind of I'm better off. But so the thing is then, well, how much energy do we need? Because the shower is one good example. So we figured out how long do people shower, and that turns out to be increasing throughout every year. It's getting longer, and people now start showering twice a day. But the average is now 7 minutes. And then we were like, okay, how are we gonna? Because the body heat is not high enough to kind of produce that hot water, so we have to do it with electricity. And then we found out that if everybody wants to shower 7 days, 7 minutes per day, that basically the whole student population, 750 people, need to produce power the whole day, and then shower and then power the whole day. So that makes no sense. And then we took it down to 3 minutes, but it was still too much. And then in the end we found, okay, 1 minute kind of works, because then we still need 150 students producing power for 8 hours a day. So it's still quite a workforce to earn your shower. On the other hand, if you want to take a cold shower, that's basically free, because you just need to pump up the water. That's not so much energy use. It's all in the heat. But the interesting thing is, because people are much more active, they are not cold, and if you go on your bike and you cycle for an hour in winter in Berlin and you come inside and there's no heating, you're gonna be warm for 1 or 2 hours because your body is just producing much more heat. And the same with the shower. If you have been exercising for 3 or 4 hours, then the last thing you need is probably a hot shower. You might be happy to have a cold one. Depends on the person, of course. But so it kind of human power becomes a kind of solution to everything. And so the whole student building, that's a project that's over now. This is the biogas. Yeah, you also have one shift in the biogas plant. That's what everybody hates. And yeah, the food is important, of course. Like so to research this project, we went to the fitness ourselves. We never did it before. And yeah, we got to know all these bodybuilder guys, and they were eating this all these powder things, and then we discovered it was a waste product from cheese manufacturing. So it's actually, so we started a cheese factory in the Human Power Building, and then we have cheese and we have the protein shakes, which are great to produce power. Because if you do it wrong and people eat, like, I don't know, a beefsteak from Argentina all the day, every day, then human power is not sustainable anymore, because then you're producing more carbon than if you would use grid electricity. And so this, we made a schedule, and we found that with like 3 hours of power producing per day, we have like 1 minute shower, you can use computer, you have lighting. So you kind of are okay. I mean, you could say it's a modern life. It's not that we are in the dark, that we are just communicating with pen and paper. And then you have the biogas and the cooking, but this is a very busy week, so normally it's not that busy. But also, we have, as you can read, sustainable decadence on the roof. Because, the thing is that it's a human-powered building, so it can operate on human power alone, and we have reduced energy so much that it keeps working. But because we did that, it actually also becomes possible to power it with wind. And by just putting, we have 10 of these kind of mini wind turbines on the roof. And if you would do that on the building with a normal energy use, yeah, it would not work at all. It would not be enough energy. But in this case, every time it's windy, the students don't have to produce power at all, and the wind turbines take over. And so that's great. Then we can do all the things that are forbidden at other moments, with jacuzzis, big computer screens, television, computer games, electric guitars. And the other way around, it's you're using wind, but you don't need the batteries, because the batteries are actually the humans. So they take care that if there's no wind, you don't need chemical batteries. You just need people working again. And we did that's a bit the whole building. So there's the biogas plant in the basement, 3 fitness floors, shower, communal. So it's important to do everything together. Not everyone has their own kitchen, not everyone has their own shower. Okay. And the next, we're now building on a human-powered hospital that kind of raises a lot of other questions, like, what medical treatments can we afford, and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I will stop, because. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Chris, for this very entertaining and enlightening presentation.